You excited about the album? We're not even on air yet here, so.
I've been excited about it since I sang the damn thing. It's always one of those things when you've done something that you're so proud of, you want people to hear it like that day. And it's almost gotten to that point with technology and the way the music business has changed. Like, I'm not going to put it past that in a few years, you're going to be recording something and it's going to be released that day. I'm imagining it's going to get to that point.
That's actually amazing. Yeah, actually, you know what? You wouldn't surprise me, actually. That'd be damn cool. Of course, then again, some people will probably regret that.
I'm going to actually try to be one of the first ones to do that. I think it's a great idea I don't think anybody's actually ever done it. It's like, I'm going to record a song today and I'm going to release it today. And I'm not going to live with it. I'm not going to get a chance to go back and fix it. I'm just going to let you hear what it sounds like right away. Like, I want to try something like that.
I think it'd be awesome. I think
you get a lot of press. You'd get a lot of press doing that. That's the first, I think. That'd be good.
How many firsts are left in this business? Not many.
No. All right, well, let's get to the actual interview.
Yes.
Let me kick it off here, Brent.
Yep.
Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music on the air and in your ear. And once again, I am Mountain. I mispronounced my own name for some reason.
Mountain Mountain, yes. But
it's a weird one. What can I say? But, with me is another guy. He's just weird. His name is fine, but he's just weird. Brett, how are you?
I am doing great. Truly happy to have one of our favorite guests back on the show. One of our all-time favorite singers. This time he's here to talk about the new WET Wet album retransmission. Jeff Scott Soto, welcome back.
Hey, you know, I fit right in, guys. You're talking about weirdos.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of us around, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what makes the world go around.
Well,
yeah, we need the weirdos.
Yeah, no doubt.
Isn't that what the W and Wet stands for?
Hey, but up, boom. Give a rim shot to this man.
So speaking of Wet, January 22nd, retransmission, the fourth album comes out. It's a wonderful album. I've listened to it, I think, probably three times so far. So you must be so proud of it.
Very much so. And that's one of the great things about this project. I'm not going to say band. We're not really a band, so to speak. And is the fact that we've been accepted as such. I mean, we've got a handful of shows, maybe five or six shows under our belts in total in the 10 or 11 years since this inception of this idea. So we're not really a touring or live act, but the fact that we are able to make the kind of music that makes all of us tick together, something that's been accepted by the fans of our music, because initially we were hoping and we were aiming for the individual fans of each of the bands that this band is derived from. And at this point, we have our own fan base. We have this music stands on its own. We don't have to really aim for the fans of Talisman or Work of Art or Eclipse or Sons of Apollo, whatever. Wet has its own kind of basis now. And so we can truly dive into further development of what this band sounds like and what our music sounds like. And this album is no exception.
Well, yeah.
What is it that it takes for you to get excited about a project nowadays?
Dollar signs, I guess. No, to be honest with you, it's the same answer it's always been since I was a kid in terms of the dream of wanting to do this for a living. The ideal of making music for a living and being able to survive on it, that in itself gets me excited about doing anything, any band, any project, any album, because it is a dream. It's when you realize how difficult I've been I'm going on 37 years. I mean, my 37th year this year as a professional musician, when you realize how difficult it is and how much competition there is out there and how small that real estate is that everybody is vying for, you realize how lucky you are in the end. I could have had the opportunity to make a couple albums and just gone away, because the interest is the hardest part to keep when you're creating music. And I'm so blessed and humbled that I'm still doing it to this day. And not only doing it, but I'm doing it in so many different formats and genres and forums. I'm allowed to do this for a living. So I get excited about everything that I get to do because I'm creating. I'm not just following someone else's platform or footsteps or blueprint. I get to create my own sound and people like it. And that's a great thing to have, especially in this day and age.
It's interesting because it feels like more than ever nowadays, You are equal parts musician and businessman in order to make it in this industry.
And you know what? That's one of the early bits of advice I was given. And that's one of the first bits of advice I give to anybody whenever anybody says, so Jeff, if you could tell a young musician, a young budding musician, what the one thing that they should concentrate on, you know, is it practice? Is it concentrate this and the other? My first bit of advice for anybody that wants to do this for a living, learn the business, because the business will swallow you whole. You can go out there and be selling millions of records and be earning pennies to the dollar. You could be earning less than minimum wage if you don't know the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've heard that story so many times. There's no question about it. And I mean, and I guess, you know, when it comes down to now with your career, I mean, there's so many things that you've got going on. I mean, I just watched you on the TSO streaming special the other, you know, last month, which was fantastic. Again, I mean, a couple of songs from you, which was beautiful. I mean, you've, you know, another thing on the 22nd, Jason Bieler's album, you've got some guests on that. Joel Hoekstra's album, you're singing backup vocals on that. I mean, so busy.
And again, I thank my lucky stars because especially now, especially what everybody's had to deal with is not just a select few, it's everyone having to deal with the whole pandemic and shutdown. As musicians, our crew guys, our management, our teams, the booking agents, the venues, we are all suffering right now. Every one of us is suffering in terms of how and what are we going to do? So again, I keep throwing this in, that how lucky I am that I get to continue creating and get to utilize this downtime in the best and creative way possible. I get a chance to continue doing what I want to do musically, but also just have that freedom to do it. And I now have the time to do as much as I want to do. And I'm utilizing that time. It's one of the reasons why we're speaking so fluently, was, you know, so close to one another.
Yeah.
Is that I'm truly throwing myself into music and recording and creating. It's the only thing I have right now. It serves as both a therapy and a chance to survive.
You know, it's actually interesting because I was thinking about the challenges it must have been making the music video for Big Boys Don't Cry, you know, in the pandemic, because it looks like everybody is filmed separately, or at least you're separate from them.
Yeah.
Was that the case?
Well, absolutely. It was the same thing with the second video, Gotta Be About Love. You have to pick and choose an environment that you can kind of emulate and make it look like you're together in. And that was very difficult because those guys are in Sweden. There's no, until they actually shoot their end of things, there's no real, it's just all talk. It's like, okay, well, it's got to have this vibe. It's going to look like this with flashing strobes, and it's got to be this, that, and the other. And you have to try to emulate that without having any real reference of it, because the reference comes later when they're editing all the bits together. So it was a great collaboration between my video guy, same guy that shot my stuff, my bits for the Without You video, for the Wide Awake in My Dreamland video. He got all the information and he went to work in trying to emulate all the information that was given to him from the video guy in Sweden, who happens to be one of the members of Eclipse, funny enough. Everything's so in-house these days. Eric Martinson, our trusty co-writer and producer of Wet, you know, he's the one that's also mixing the records, but he's also got one of the new members of Eclipse doing the video production for his band and for our band. It's great. It's great to have so much creativity and so much productivity within and amongst ourselves without having to go too far out.
I imagine it's incredibly difficult when you're just by yourself, though, shooting this video, to get across the intensity that you want to get across for the song.
Yes and no. I mean, luckily we do have, we have this little nugget of, I guess the word I want to use is experience behind us. When you have experience, you find ways, and there's always a way. There's never a no involved when you've done as much as we've all done.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I can well imagine that. You know, I we talked about the video for Big Boys Don't Cry, and when it comes down to all of the Wet songs, Big Boys Don't Cry may be my favorite of them.
That is amazing to hear, especially because In terms of the actual title, or in terms of the actual lyric itself, it does sound, it can sound a bit dated. It can sound like something we may have or should have only recorded and done when we were in maybe in our 20s or late teens or whatever, because big boys, we're men in our 40s and 50s now. It's, I worried about the translation of that. But the best thing is, this music is timeless. This music gives us the chance to not necessarily have to worry and deal with that, the stereotypes and the stigma that comes with using the word like boy or girl cry and that kind of thing. It fits, and we didn't have to worry about being bashed for it. It's great.
It's true, actually. I had the same reaction when I saw the title. I'm like, "Big boys don't cry." And then I listened to it, and I listened to the lyrics. And as soon as that happened, it all changed for me. It's like a switch hit.
Right. And the good thing about, again, the lyric itself is about something we've all been through. We've all been through the heartache. We've all been through the loss of someone. And in the end, you gotta pick yourself up and move forward. And that's, this is no exception at any age.
One of the things I'm interested in is, I mean, the singing on this is so incredible from you, of course. And then I mentioned earlier the TSO special. Like, what's the difference between singing for Wet and singing for the TSO? And then even more so, like, when it comes to the backup singing, and like, what does it take to go into being a backup singer?
Well, the biggest difference between TSO and any band is TSO is very musical theater oriented. And if you're doing any musical theater, which I'm not a fan of personally, I thought maybe I wouldn't fit the TSO mold because I'm not a big fan of musical theater. There's a lot of acting involved. There's because everything you're doing in TSO or anything in musical theater, it has to do with act singing, or you're portraying a character that's parlaying the lyrics across towards that character. That being said, I've never been into that. I've never felt that was my forte, or that was even within my wheelhouse. Luckily, I was able, I realized it just by accident, or just by working with somebody like Paul O'Neill, who created TSO. He was able to bring that side of me out that I never thought I had or even wanted. And so when I do TSO, it's absolutely something I'm thrust into creating and singing for a character. When I'm singing my own stuff, that's just a free-for-all. That's just 100% JSS, coming from the heart, coming from the soul. So I can do anything with that because it's based on just coming out of me. I'm not portraying a character. I'm not portraying somebody else in the context of the lyrics and the songs that I'm singing. That's the biggest difference between the two. And in backing vocals, that was always my forte. Even as a teenager, when I back in the days before I even went into my first multi-track scenario. The funny thing, I told this story many a time about Bee Gees music, was I learned how to sing harmonies because of the Bee Gees. I used to pick out which notes were where in every one of their songs. I didn't know who was singing what, but I knew there was three-part harmony always going on. So I would find those three parts and I learned them, but how do I sing them? How do I get them onto a recording situation? So I would record myself singing like the first part. I would sing just the main lead vocal on a little, those old rectangle, the video, I'm sorry, the tape recorders, the cassette tape recorders. Remember those old things
Oh
that journalists
yeah.
used
Oh yeah.
with the mono speaker? So I record myself a cappella singing one of the notes. I would rewind that, play it back, and have a second recorder in record. And when it's playing back, I would sing the harmony to that voice while the second recorder is recording it. I would do the same process again. I rewind the one that now has two voices, play that back, and sing the third part harmony back into the original recorder. And that's how I taught myself how to sing backing vocals. That's one of the things I get the most excited about in life is singing backups. That's why when people are talking about the new Joel Hoekstra album, that, oh, how could you get Jeff Scott Soto just to sing backgrounds? That's sacrilege. That's blasphemy. No, absolutely not. I love singing backing vocals. One of the reasons I do my own backing vocals on every album, or most every album, and it's one of the reasons why I never say no to a scenario where I'm being hired as a background singer.
Makes me wonder what Bee Gees song you would cover if you were to put one on your next album.
I did so many of them back in the day, but there's a song called Children of the World that I remember doing where I had to break down, We are children of the world. It was an a cappella thing anyways. So I didn't need a reference of music to make that particular recording. And I just remember being able to do all the different voices. And I was so impressed with myself that I could actually do something like this. I had no experience whatsoever on what multi-tracking was. I was just thinking, this is the only way I can actually get this across. And it worked.
Awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's so much fun. Like, we talked to Jason actually just recently, and I believe he was Wason wants to know about your Wuv Muffin.
Oh, Jesus.
He wouldn't tell us what it meant, but he said to say it. He
puts our little pet names and all that stuff into public knowledge, because then it truly makes people scratch their head and going, what's really going on with these two guys?
I was just thinking about it because he would talk about the shows that you two would do, and so I pictured the Bee Gees fitting into some of those shows.
Well, you know what? You're not too far from that actually possibly happening, because as I don't know if many people know, that Stephen Gibb, Barry's son, was in Saigon Kick for a short time. And he's actually joined us on stage for a few songs when we played in Florida last. So anytime Steve is near us, or anytime we're near him, we're always going to invite him up. And I think at some point I got to say, hey, guys, why don't we try to do like an acoustic version of Nights on Broadway or something like that?
Yeah, and record it for us.
Well, that goes without saying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, same day, same day. Come on. So one of the questions, I mean, we talk about Retransmission being the fourth album for Wet. I'm interested in, like, do you feel any pressure by the time you reach the fourth album to try something new? Or is it just kind of becoming more of a feeling of the band that you know what you need to do?
A little bit of both. We don't necessarily feel the pressure. We put the pressure upon ourselves because we don't want to keep repeating ourselves. And there truly is only so far you can go with the melodic rock, hard rock genre overall. So we've expanded on it in terms of what we do. We've expanded on just basically not saying no to a great song. We can turn a great song into a Wet song. And that's the bottom line. With even if it's too poppy, or if it's not really in the wheelhouse of what the first couple albums sounded like, that's the only pressure or the only concern or thought that we put behind us. But everything else, we know what the label expects. We know what the people who are buying these records want. So we pretty much stick to the ideal of, let's not venture too far outside. Let's not try to reinvent the wheel here. Let's give them what they're expecting, but also let's do something that makes us go, wow, that's really good. I'm so happy we did that. And then it's not that hard to meet those ideals, because in general, we do realize the responsibility we have for the people that are buying these records, that we want to make them happy. And we also want to keep Serafino happy. He's the one that put this whole thing together. This is his baby, so to speak. So we want him to be excited just the same about what we're doing.
I was thinking that as I was listening to this new Wet album and went back and listened to All Alone in My Dreamland, because that really is one of the best albums of 2020. I mean, without any question.
Oh, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely really was. And I just think you have the special sauce of understanding what it is it takes to write a great song. And I guess it comes back to experience again.
And you know what? I can't take all the credit there. Again, what if I'm making an album on my own and I get an accolade like that, I'll embrace it and I'll say thank you. But that album could not and would not exist without the incredible talents of Alessandro Dovecchio. He wrote every song in terms of the music, as my producer, as my mixing engineer, all of the above. He was my Eric Martinson on that record in terms of the creation of it and the inception and the end result of it. So I give him the same accolades I give Eric in terms of, it would not be what it is without these guys. And thank you so much. It means a lot.
Yeah. Talk about a ridiculous level of talent when you talk about Alessandro and Eric. I mean, just like the two of them, I mean, it's amazing what they bring to music.
They're doing all the music now, aren't they?
Pretty much. And again, they surround themselves with the same level of talent that they are and they expect of themselves. And that's Eric is the same and Alessandro is the same. I mean, I've never met the guitar player that played all the guitars on Wide Awake in My Dreamland, but my God, I'm just blown away because I've played with everybody in the book. I've played with so many amazing musicians, talents, guitar players, you name it. And to think, okay, what's left? There's not really much left out there in terms of what somebody new could bring to the table. And when I heard what this guy put on this on my record, I was just blown away. Fabrizio Scattone is one of the greatest guitar players out there that nobody knows of.
Now it's interesting because last time we talked about Eddie Van Halen passing, and of course near the end of 2020 we also lost Leslie West, who I considered to be almost an equal loss because he was so brilliant, and I know that you had a chance to meet him, so maybe a couple of your impressions on him.
Well, we Leslie and Al Petrelli from Trans-Siberian Orchestra were very good friends, and we were doing one of the we once in a while would venture into the spring tours with TSO. It would be a non-holiday oriented tour, and one of the spring tours also back in the day, TSO were notorious for bringing up guest artists for particular shows or particular cities. They would just surprise the audience with a guest artist on stage with us. And when we were doing the spring tours, we never really thought about it, but it just came about that we invited Leslie West to come and be one of those artists. And just meeting with I'm best friends with Al Petrelli. So while these guys were hanging with each other and kind of breaking bread, and they hadn't seen each other in so long, I was privy to the level and the relationship of what they had together. And I felt as welcome in Leslie's life and kind of in his party, so to speak, as Al did. And so I got to be part of something instead of some of the other members who just basically got to say hello and got to sing background for something we were doing with him. I got to spend some time with him, and I love the guy to death. I love his personality, always loved his playing, and I realized how important he was as an artist, as a legend in this business. And I wish I'd got to know him. I got to know him more before he passed. But unfortunately, we do what we do for a living. We barely ever get to see each other. Even Al Petrelli, I only get to see when it's time to do TSO. So that's just how it goes in this business. But the little time I got to spend with him, I'm so honored to be part of that arsenal of people that got to know and got to really understand who Leslie West was.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get to see Leslie West play, and man, that guy, incredible.
Yeah. And he was such a great guy. His whole being, everything about him was just so positive and funny, and he had his own little wit and sarcasm, and I just fit right in. I love that. I remember that day like it was yesterday.
Well, and that's one of the things that I know, like. When it came time and it's just like, oh, we're going to talk to Jeff again. I know when I talked to Martin, it was just like, oh, this is great. We want to talk to Jeff again. And that's something I appreciate about you is you're such a nice guy. You really, you seem easy to get along with. And so I think how must that help you in your business?
I've always found it very important to have great communication skills, but more so than anything, to learn and understand respect for one another. Because without that, it's just going to crumble. There are so many that concern themselves too much with the creative control part that turns into the egomaniacal side of things. And I'm not naming names. I mean, if I say this naturally, everybody's going to start thinking and knowing who I'm talking about. But that can go for anybody. That can go for anybody in this business. And it's one of the things I prided myself in not doing, and making sure that I didn't have that quality or that certain part of my in my DNA. I wanted the respect, and I wanted to be able to give the respect. And there's only one way you can do both, is to have both.
Well, and of course, one of the biggest things is to be able to, prove it, and certainly your vocals prove it every time that you sing.
Well, thank you. It's again, I'll always equate it to the fact that I'm lucky and I'm blessed to be able to do this for a living, because there are so many that wanted it, so many that would be in the same boat as I am. They'd just be so happy to be able to do it, and I'm just one that I'm stoked. I can't. I sometimes have to pinch myself that I've had all the opportunities that I've had to do what I'm doing. And if it all ended tomorrow, there's no regrets.
For sure. So, of course, you know, the fourth Wet album. What's next for Jeff Scott Soto?
You know what? I just literally started thinking about that today, because for the first time in months, 2020, I couldn't breathe. I had so much going on. And when I was finishing something, I was starting something else. I haven't lined up anything. I haven't planned anything. And now I'm actually starting to get a little bit antsy. Like, hang on, I better start lining something up, because things happen in the course of months after you've already booked them or arranged them. If I'm not booking anything now, I'm going to be sitting around for a few months and I can't do that. I'll go crazy. So I'm working on that now. And I'm sure I do have a few things up my sleeve. I'm working on two different projects, or whatever you want to call it. There's two different ideas that I'm working with other people, and we'll see what comes of it. But as far as release stuff, I don't know just yet what's going to happen in the near future. Not yet.
Are you going to be calling up Jason Bieler? Because I know that both of your albums are being released on the 22nd, and like, you know, compare sales numbers and have a little friendly competition.
Oh, you know what? I don't have to do that, because everyone knows the only reason Jason exists is because of me. So I just walk around saying, yeah, well, you can boast about your sales and your interests, but you know, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have any of this. So shut up.
Yeah. I mean, he's such a hilarious guy. I can just imagine that the two of you together, I really want to see one of those shows, because the two of you together would just be so much fun.
We exhaust our wives. Our wives look at us like, oh my God, can you guys just give it a rest? We just can't help ourselves.
Oh, well, Jeff, I know that we're coming close to our time limit with you again, which is always such a tragedy, because it's a great time. But please tell everyone where to find the new Wet album when it comes out, and how to keep up with Jeff Scott Soto.
In general, anywhere you buy your music today, that's the best place to look. I mean, it's starting from Frontier's website themselves and on down to the Amazons. And I mean, it's so easy to just follow any one of us, and you'll be able to see links and things of where you can find the music. And it's the same old thing, you know, all the social platforms, anything that's got a blue star next to it on the socials is really me. And, follow those. Don't follow the other ones that don't have the little blue symbol, because you're probably going to get bogus information.
Well, I do urge everyone to go out and listen to Retransmission. I'll probably listen to it another 3 times this week at least. Awesome. So
Well, guys, it's an honor. It's a privilege to speak to you. And thank you so much for taking the time.
Well, thank you so much. I know Martin says, you know, wishes you all the best as well. He had to run off. But thanks so much, Jeff, and all the best. And I look forward to the next time we can speak.
Thank you, man. We'll speak soon.
All right. Sounds good. Bye now.